I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deirdre O'Kane podcast with SJ and Eva B. This is episode 3 of season 2, and we have loads of new listeners and followers. Thanks so much, and keep continuing to spread the word. Now, what are we talking about? Eva.
Yeah. Who have we been starstruck by? Have you ever been starstruck? Are you easily starstruck? What is your most starstruck experience?
I think I've been starstruck quite a lot.
How do you handle it, and who was it?
Don't handle it well. I generally don't want to meet people that I admire a lot.
Because yes,
I
think never I meet your heroes.
I'd be thinking, no, I wouldn't know what to say to you. I wouldn't be able to talk to you at all. I worked with Michael Caine on a film I did called The Actors.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, what am I going to say to Michael Caine? Like, what? Yeah. Where do you begin? Just say, oh, Michael, I like your films. Which one? Which one of my 100 films did you like? And the truth is, I don't know any of them really.
That's what I was going to say. You probably couldn't remember the names of them.
No, you know, you just know he's Michael Caine, and he's an icon. But that film was made a long time ago. Oh dear, what's that?
SJ's got a new doorbell. That's what that noise is.
We've got a new doorbell. And do you know what that delivery is? That is all of your stuff. All of our stuff.
Welcome stuff.
All our welcome stuff. No, it's fine because Ellie and Lewis are on the case.
Okay.
So I think it's all good.
We can hear them. Yeah.
That's okay.
Not to digress from Michael Caine or anything, but we just...
Ah, no, we will digress from Michael Caine because you're getting new crockery, a new desk.
We got a few pillows and some cutlery and things. I went online and we were going to rent a car and go over... And buy stuff. And I thought, Jesus, why would we do that? We can just order from the comfort of our new home.
Of your new home.
Yeah. There is something lovely. So she's moved into this new apartment, which is itself brand spanking new, right? Like as in the sofa was never sat on. The table has never been sat on. And now everything that goes into that apartment will be brand new. Like there isn't an old cup in it or a glass or anything.
Well, no, that's not entirely true. Nor is it going to. I mean, we are more than willing to accept, which we have done from the lovely D already, came over on our very first night with some pillows and some duvet covers and a duvet and some glasses for a gin and tonic, which we had, and some mugs. And those mugs are divine. And the bowls, I know you say the bowls.
Nothing wrong with those mugs. €5 for 4 of those mugs.
They were gorgeous.
Could you go wrong?
You couldn't go wrong. Like, I didn't even order any mugs. I didn't need to because those mugs are gorgeous. But, you know, it's just so thrilling, as you know, probably as well, Eva, because you just bought that beautiful new bed, to buy new stuff. Like, we don't buy new stuff, as you know. So this is kind of a real novelty that we have to.
And you have literally gone from never buying anything to having to buy everything. Every single thing for that apartment, brand new.
Yeah.
It's quite funny.
Yeah, it is. And it's lovely, but it's like... Dunn's is great, and it's
Dunn's
something like
great.
When you know, especially when you haven't been living here in so long, you realize, God, and it's after getting better and better.
Oh, so you have no idea. Great. Yeah, you haven't been into Dunn's in years, probably.
No, like I have. I have done. Like, I mean, the one in Tralee is great, but I'm so excited to go to, you know, Cornell's Court
and
is it Cornell's or Cornell's Court?
Cornell's Court,
right?
But listen, I like Cornell.
Yeah,
Cornell's Court.
See you at Cornell's Court.
Oh my God, like totally.
For like a smoothie.
Cornell's Court during lockdown was it. Like that was going on your holidays. That was the only place.
I can think of worse places.
It was exotic. It was like, it was open for starters, like nothing was open, only supermarkets, but it had, you know, a bit of clothes and a bit of this and candles and nice stuff that you were allowed to buy. And there was a coffee shop and an off license and it feels nice.
It was a day
so
out.
That was, oh, that was a day out. That was a major day out.
Yeah, coffee, a candle and a bottle of
meat. I have to say it was a good pandemic for Dunnes.
They did
they
well.
They have cleaned up. It was like Christmas every day. Every day for the last 18 months was like Christmas in there, packed.
Anyway, it is. And their website is only fabulous. And, you know, because we're just getting the basics and we just didn't want to be paying an arm and a leg. But like just the quality of the stuff and it's just they're so pretty and all the little accessories. Now, I didn't go mad on any of the accessories. That's the sort of thing I want to do when I get to the actual shop itself. But it's just lovely to have things come and they're just so pretty and new. Everything's new.
The reason I went over, Eva, I have to tell you, the reason I went over with the pillow for her was that she had one pillow for Ellie and because he brought his own pillow. And then she said, "No, I know, I'm grand. I'll just sleep on a jacket. I'll just sleep
Jesus
on a jacket.
Christ. I'll be all right in the dark. Don't mind me. I'll be all right in the dark.
Beautiful new apartment. Gorgeous new bed. I'll sleep on a jacket.
No, they all over the
world.
Like, I won't have that.
Anyway, you're so good. You came over. You'll be getting the pillow back because we ordered new ones. Anyway, that's what's happening. The lads are downstairs now greeting the delivery guy from Dunn's. And when I finish this podcast, I'm going to go out and unpack some boxes. Oh,
lovely.
Anyway, let's go back.
Let's get back to Starstruck. She's starstruck by Dunn's stores, but nevertheless.
We're in Ellsport.
Yeah, so anyway, so Michael came. Okay, so I was really now, I was in the film, I was playing the stage manager. And so I happened to be next to Michael because he was playing the actor and I was the stage manager. So we happened to be standing beside each other all day. And you know what it's like when you're filming, like you're just hanging around, standing around. And I'm thinking, am I going to say to this man? Anyway, we ended up talking about food. We talked about food from morning till night. So it turned out by the end of the 2 weeks, my starstruckness was well gone. I knew every bit of toast that Michael Caine had had that week. I knew what he had on it. I knew where he had his dinner. And it became this kind of running joke because he was very hungry all the time.
That's a good bit of trivia. He was hungry all the time.
No, he was on like the film star diet. You know, he was trying to keep his weight down.
Starving himself.
He was well into his 70s and I was just going, Michael, would you have a biscuit? Have a biscuit. I was a big roll, Michael. I was like a pusher. I was like, go on, Mrs. Doyle. I was like, Mrs. Doyle, go on, you want, you'll have a cup of tea and a biscuit. I'll bring it to you. Sit down there. He was fainting. The man was fainting by lunchtime. He was trying to keep up with his wife who ate like a bird. What's her name? The good looking one.
Oh, yes. Can't remember.
Shakira. Is it Shakira?
No, it's not Shakira.
Are you sure?
No.
Who's Googling it?
Oh, maybe
Google
I'm
immediately
it right
and
now.
You'll have a.
You're Googling it right
oh,
now.
Oh, maybe we're right, actually. No, let's see. Michael Caine.
I'm telling you now, it's Shakira Caine.
You're absolutely right. I apologize. Dear.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Very
I
much.
Thought you meant Shakira, the pop star.
So did
Sorry.
I.
No, I meant Shakira Caine, his wife. Anyway, she eats like a bird in order to, you know, look like the rock star that she is. And he was trying to keep up with her by eating absolutely nothing. Oh, nothing.
God. And he's a big man, like you say. He's like 6'5"
man.
Or something.
Yeah. Big man. And in the end, I remember saying to him, and where did you eat last night? So this became our conversation.
I would like to look at it from Michael Caine's point of view, you know, where he's done 100 films or however many, and he has had to stand next to plenty of actors over the years who would, you know, who are not D.O. Caine. So can you imagine this woman just fell from the sky who's so funny, and how much you must have actually given him a lift, you know?
Not at all. This man had zero interest. So much so that I realized I don't want to malign Michael Caine. He was lovely. And you know what? He told me, I'd say about 100 anecdotes, and I listened, and he tells a good story. Yeah. I don't think he asked me one question about myself in the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I didn't matter. I just thought, you know, it doesn't matter. Look, you're a star and you're telling me all these very, very funny stories. But what entertained me the most was I would go in every day and I'd say, what did you have for your dinner last night? What did you have? And he'd go into it. He loved talking about food. But anyway, that's it. That was my memory. At the end of the 2 weeks, I wasn't starstruck anymore. But for the first couple of days, I was quite demented going, oh God, what will I, how will I strike up a conversation with this man? What about you,
Eva?
I like you. I have been starstruck a few times and generally think I'm not going to say anything. And now that I'm older, I kind of go to the extreme with it, kind of go, I'm not even going to look at them because they're fed up with people looking at them. So I sort of probably, from their perspective, if they're...
You're rude now.
For one
You're
second, rude. I'm rude. Yeah, I'm just rude. I'm quite aloof and rude. Whereas really, I'm just trying to just be really fucking normal, but so normal, I'm pretending they're not there.
Yeah. So normal.
That's
rude,
now. Yeah. But when I was younger... When of course you're starstruck all the time. Anybody who's, who chopping actor who's doing really well for themselves is like, oh my God. And it was one of my first jobs. And I was playing opposite Liam Neeson. And he was, in my mind, Liam Neeson was always a star. Like, I don't even remember when he started
out. He's been
out.
He was a star for
a very long time. And he was a star in this film. And I was literally, I'd only been doing it a couple of years. I was green. And he's gorgeous. Like, the man is just towering, you know, charismatic, stunning. And lovely. And the scenes that we were doing, they were quite like heightened, sort of purposefully kind of, you know, slightly cartoonish in a weird way, very sort of stylized almost. And the scene was, he was a priest and I'm the young housekeeper. And he ends up getting me pregnant and it's a shocking story. You know, nobody knows who's the father of the baby and it was him. But the actual scene of him going for me, they had him on wires. So it's like this quite sort of very heightened scene where he literally flies through the air at me. I'm sort of, you know, supposed to recoil going, oh my God, flying priest through the air. But we went for the take. Something happened in my head and I just saw Liam Neeson coming at me, arms open. And instead of recoiling, I put my arms open and my mouth.
Stop.
I thought, oh, okay, we're going to get it on. I went for the snog and they had to call cut and the director, who was Neil Jordan, had to remind me, he's attacking you.
Oh my God, that is hysterical. Wow, you're meant to recoil. You put your arms open.
I did it with my arms open and my mouth. Yeah.
Oh my God. But Liam must have been delighted with you.
I don't know. He probably thought it could just do the scene. Do what's scripted.
And so when he flew at you, you were meant to recoil. So what did you have a love scene with him? I thought I remembered you.
It was sort of a love scene. He's not supposed to be doing what he's doing, but the character and him have this kind of a sparky relationship. So it's all quite strange because she doesn't really know what's happening, but it's all sort of weirdly done in kind of a comic way, purposely. So it's not like a violent attack, but it's not a lovemaking scene either. It's this kind of strangely stylized bit. But I just saw the beautiful Liam Neeson coming at me. So I was like, oh, hello. How are you? I'll have a bit of you.
Yeah. You'd do the same again.
I'd do the same again.
You would, of course.
SJ, have you been?
I have been a couple of times. And it's generally people who I admire so much, where like the talent is just off the scale. So like one was Philip Seymour Hoffman, who was kind of the one that made me I could barely kind of speak because I...
I wouldn't have been able to speak to him.
It was like a dinner. So we're all sitting at the same table and I just felt like it was the first time that I really felt I'm so in awe of this person, this talent. And just, he was so humble. And the antithesis to what you might imagine a star to be. Mm. Just such an amazing person. And, you know, he was...
And an artist, a real artist.
Such an artist. Yeah. And he was interested. And
was he?
Yeah, like asking questions. And, you know, he's wearing his little anorak. And he was looking me in the eye and just being really... he was really cool.
Decent,
really fucking decent. And I was shaking. Like, that was the first time where I just thought, this person is just extraordinary. And that was my, I think, the moment where I was kind of lost for words. But then he put me at ease, you know, in a way that was.
So did you manage to have it? Like, did you kind of get over the nerves and manage to have a conversation?
I did. And he did that. He was just a really cool person.
Well, he was lovely.
Yeah.
Such a tragic loss. Yeah. Because it's so disappointing when you hear that, and there are lots of those stories that those, you know, big stars aren't generous and kind and normal and down to earth. And so when you hear certain people like him, and when it's just like, oh, thank God, that sounds so relieved.
I must tell you the story of, you know, Paul Rudd, the actor Paul Rudd.
Yes.
Who we all love and love. He's gorgeous and everything. Anyway, he rocked up to do an episode of Moon Boy, right? He was the final episode of the whole season. Yeah. And when I say every man, woman and child was besotted with this man, I'm not kidding you. It was like the whole set, the crew, everybody was going, Paul Rudd. Oh, Jesus, Paul Rudd. Oh, my God. Nobody could cope. Right? and he was absolutely adorable and brilliant and funny and charming to everyone and funny to everyone. And everyone was ecstatic. And high as a kite, everyone lost weight for that week. And at the end, the last day we were shooting this amazing scene where everybody was out in the graveyard and he was, I can't remember what he was playing, the ghost of. Oh, here goes the memory, lads. Dear, don't even bother trying to recall.
No, it doesn't matter.
I'll just get to the point where we wrapped the Moon Boy. It was season three. We were wrapping. And the second AD goes, that's a wrap, Mr. Paul Rudd. Please, can we have our women back now? It was that bad. I do have
a lovely story about... one of our dear friends was doing a play in New York, and it was with some very well-known actors. So it was quite a big showy event at the premiere. And who was at the premiere of the play? Only Lauren Bacall, living fucking legend.
Living legend.
And our friend was chatting to her because they were at a dinner table later that evening. And this was a very big job for him at the time. He said to her, you know, I just really want it to go well. You know, I feel like it's a really great play. And also, you know, it's just amazing to be here in New York. I think, you know, it could open more opportunities for me. And she looked at him and she said, darling, you never make it.
Really? So true.
You never make it. And I'll never forget hearing that anecdote, because as an actor, as a performer, here is someone who is a living legend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Telling you, it's like giving him permission to just take a load off and go, you never make it. Yeah. Right. You can be at the top of your game. This is it. So just enjoy it. Because you're never going to feel like you've made it. You can be Lauren Bacall and you feel like you've never made it. Yeah. And I think it's just the most amazing advice. Yeah. Like, and I just love that story of, oh.
There's a wisdom in it, because no matter how high you go, you are then very concerned with maintaining that status and maintaining your place with what on the rung on the ladder. Yeah. So yeah, you can't relax.
Exactly. It's that classic thing of enjoy the journey, not the destination, isn't it? Because if you're constantly trying to get somewhere else, you're not actually really fully experiencing what's happening now.
Sure. Yeah. And I just think it's such a lovely gift as well to give, such amazing advice to give to anyone, because like that advice, you know, it spilled down to me through word of our friend. And so it also allows us to go, oh, well, if she's saying it, then just give yourself a fucking break, because, you know, I
have to say, though, SJ, you've given it a very positive interpretation, because and you could also read it as, oh, Jesus, right, I'm never going to make it. You know, you could be depressed by the idea.
But true. But I think that you hit the nail on the head as well, Eva, by saying it's a reminder that it is the journey. And not the destination. Yeah. Like she lives Is she dead? Oh God, isn't that terrible? I don't even know. Maybe she's died in the last, I can't even remember. Let's have a look. But anyway, she lives in...
That'll be us someday. Is she dead? Is she dead? Deirdre O'Kane, is she dead? Not yet, lads, not yet.
She died. She died years ago. Yeah, she did. Yeah, what? She died.
When? Recently though.
She died 2014. So there we go. But this
God, she was beautiful, wasn't she?
Stunning.
Yeah,
and stunning. So she lived in this beautiful penthouse in a listed building in New York at the time that she had had this conversation with our friend. So in our minds, she absolutely made it. But she was like, no, you don't, because who knows what she was feeling or thinking at that time, you know?
Yeah. But there's solid, solid wisdom in there to remind yourself it doesn't matter the outcome, the review, whether the film or the play or the telly is a hit, who cares? Do the job, give it your best.
That's it.
You know, and
Get the most out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I always love quoting Joe Wall used to say to me, you know, Joe Wall, who was in the band The Stunning, he used to say, look it, mix it up and fire it out to the people. They'll decide. That's it. You know, and it was actually that phrase. I spoke to him for the first time ages the other day, and he said, oh, that was one of the Saw Doctor's dads who came up with that. He couldn't understand what they were making such a big fuss about the studio and the sound. And, oh, Jesus, just mix it up and fire it at the beep.
It's so good. I love it.
I kind of love it. It's like,
it can be applied to anything, can't it? It could be applied to tonight's dinner. Just mix it up and fire it out to the people.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm so looking forward to getting back on stage at the moment, but at the same time, there's a little bit of me always, there's always the trepidation. Oh God, going out with new stuff. Don't know what works. Don't know what doesn't work. Don't know what this room will be like. Don't know what this audience will be like. And sometimes you can talk yourself into a kind of, I've got to get a proper job. You know, Why am I doing this to myself yeah, still?
Putting yourself out there the whole
time.
Yeah,
but the truth is I wouldn't do anything else. But
no, exactly, exactly. Yeah. But that doesn't mean you aren't without self-doubt.
No, it doesn't mean I'm not without those moments where I have to absolutely remind myself to enjoy it. Enjoy it.
And I think it's also not taking it that seriously. I mean, of course, we take it very seriously, you know, and put in regards to the work and the effort. But it's also, you have to remind yourself, it is just a fucking job. It's just a job.
But ultimately, you've nailed it there, because once you've done the prep, once you're prepared and you've done as much work as you can, after that, that's it. You can't do anymore. You can only just give the performance you're going to give, you know, with the best attitude that you've got.
Yeah.
I'm dying to hear your show. So it's just once we have a minute, we have to.
Oh, yeah.
We have to arrange a walk.
SJ has agreed to listen to my monologues.
Oh, lucky, lucky SJ.
I know. How lucky.
What a treat. What a treat.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. On the mention of The Stunning, I'll just mention them again, because, you know, the two gigs I have coming up, one is next week. There's this Monday night, the 23rd. So I think the podcast will have gone out, won't it?
No.
Or not yet. I can't remember. I'll be gone past it. Look at me. Can't do the maths with the dates. Okay, so it'll be over. So, but I'm going back to the Cadillacs anyway on Monday. So it doesn't matter. It was just to say, it's as I was telling you, it's the first one in almost 2 years, really. My first time to do an hour on stage in 2 years. Yeah. But a couple of days later, I'm in Galway in Pearse Stadium, and it's on the bill for the week. They've kind of running a festival is Mary Coughlan, myself, Ard O'Hanlon, Christy Moore, and The Stunning. Oh. And I was texting Steve and Joe because I met them 30 years ago when I did my first job in Galway with Druid, and we were all hanging out together. It was the most amazing time. And it was just a 2 year period where Mockness sort of exploded. Yeah. Druid were doing really well. Sharon Shannon was on fire. The Stunning were on fire. And it was just teeming with crack and talent. And we were young and we were locked 24/7.
You were young and you were rides and you were
rides and locks.
They were. And I was just texting the two of them, the two lovely Wall brothers, the nicest men you ever met in your life. And I was texting them today. Isn't it just great that we're still doing it? 30 years later, we're back on
how
the same
amazing.
Bill, and we're
how
still
amazing
doing
is that?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that is something.
Still
it's
alive.
A moment, D. I thought that's a moment, D. You need to just go.
Well done us.
Next week, then, when we record, you will have done that show. So
we can hear all about it.
Fired
everything across
to the people, and I will tell you how it goes.
It'll be such a rush and such a buzz being in that stage. You'll fly through it. I'm sure the first few minutes would be, you know, vomit inducing, but then once you just hit that fucking groove, you'll just
I genuinely cannot wait. I actually cannot wait.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to know what I have. You know, I don't know what I have. And it's very rare for me to go out like that. But anyway, there you go. We shall see. Speaking of back to, there's obviously something going full circle for me, because the Galway thing with all of that lot, okay, that's 30 years. But Kilkenny is where I started the stand-up. Did I ever tell you this story of how it happened? I went to Kilkenny as a punter because Steve was making a documentary about that festival, about the Cadillacs. And I was an unemployed actress giving out a lot. Going, no work, there's no job for me, no work. And of course, being married to a feckin' Protestant doesn't help, because his attitude is just, well, create the work, find the work, make the work. I'm not going to listen to your moaning. Get up off your arse, love, and make something for yourself. So he was sort of pushing me to do my own thing. Anyway, I was unemployed actor, and he said, I'm going down to make this documentary. Do you want to come and make the tea as a dog's body and just be my person, my gopher, and make the tea? I said, yeah, I'll go. So I went and I got one of those Access All Areas badges, and I put it on me, and it was the first time in my life that I ever really saw stand-up. I'd only ever seen stand-up live once in the International Bar in a really small way. I'd never seen anything like this. There was about 40 comedians in total on the bill, and because I had my Access All Areas, I went in to watch 3, 4, 5 shows a night. I just went from venue to venue to venue to venue, and I had a moment. I had a Road to Damascus moment where I went, oh my God. I thought it was the most exciting thing I'd ever seen in my life. I wasn't thinking I could do this. I was just looking at it going, wow. Like it just blew my mind. I didn't know it. I didn't know it as an art form. Do you know what I mean? I just didn't know it.
Yes.
I'd just done 10 years of theatre, which I loved, but was full of etiquette and sit down and take your place. And now there was people in the audience going, answering back. I was like, oh, Jesus, how very dare you. I was literally going, you don't obviously know how to behave in a theatre. Little did I know. I was so innocent. And I saw one act in particular. And of course, his name has gone from me now in classic O'Kane form. Anthony Clark, that was his name. But I went to see him. I loved his set. So I thought, I'm going to go back and see him again. And he did the same set again with not even a word of a deviation. And I went a third time and he did the same thing again, no deviation. And that was when the penny dropped. And I thought, oh, well, that's a bit like being an actor. He's He's just learned. He's just learned.
His monologue. Yeah.
Monologue, and he's delivering a show. I could do that. I could do that. Because, you know, in my mind, it was a stream of consciousness. And they were all geniuses who were riffing and ad-libbing and all of that. Yeah. It was on, and I thought, well, there's no way I can do that. But when I saw him, and I thought, oh, yeah, maybe I could do that. But anyway, so to cut a long story short, on the way home in the car, I started writing jokes in the passenger seat.
Wow.
I wrote my first jokes, and I went back to the Catlass Festival the following year as a performer.
Wow. That's incredible.
Amazing. Isn't it?
Incredible. Yeah.
And how was that first ever gig?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, well, it wasn't my first. I started in the International Bar. I didn't go down to Kilkenny to do my first gig, but I went back there as a performer. Oh, no. I mean, the first 2 years were horrific. I mean, I thought I was going to have a stroke every single time I walked on the stage. And they say it takes about 2 years, you know, to get rid of that. I used to think of it like I was a child. Do you remember when you were a child and you thought you'd never be able to tell the time quickly? You'd never be able to look at your watch and go 10 past two. but you'd always have to go, the big hand is 10 past, and that's 9, 10, 11, quarter past 11. But that was the quickest I could do it. And I used to think, will I ever actually be able to get on the stage when I don't feel physically sick? Oh, and it took about 2 years. So so Kilkenny is, I'm full circle going back there. I always think of it as, you know, that was my start. I have to thank Richard Cook for that while I'm here.
And do you, one last question on that, do you feel like now that you're going back, you have changed much as a stand-up from that first gig at the Cat's Laugh to now?
Yeah, I've changed dramatically. Yeah, I think I've changed
style
as a stand-up.
Or
do you know what? I'm at a crossroads in my stand-up. I kind of wanted to be much braver and much more honest than I ever was. So I'm, one of the reasons I'm dying to get up is because I kind of want to be a little bit different now. Okay. And part of me wonders, is it because my dad died? Now, this is quite weird, but there is a strange freedom in not worrying. You have to get to a certain point in life where you're not worried about who you're going to offend, what you're going to say, who's going to be upset. And I definitely have had quite a bit of that. I'd say more than the average comic. And I don't know that this is kind of, it's an experiment and I'll soon find out, but I'm absolutely at a point where I'm ready to just go, you know what? I need to fucking let go all of that and just...
Wow.
Oh, that's incredible.
That's amazing. That's very exciting.
It is exciting. Brave. It is. We've discussed this where I've seen comedians on stage going, oh my God, like how can they get away with that with their parents and their spouses, you know, where they share so much stuff, personal stuff, where I go, I couldn't do that. But at the same time, there is a freedom, I imagine, to let all that shit go.
I mean, you can share as much or as little as you want. You can dress it up. You can tell white lies. You can leave out the most, you know, you don't have to give every shred of your personal life. There's plenty I haven't said on stage and never will. However, you've got to give of yourself. Like if you're not giving of you, they're just not going to care quite as much. Yeah. It's almost like they know you're giving a bit of yourself. And order for it to be great, I think it kind of has to be that. Not every comic would agree with me now. They really wouldn't. But for me, I've just reached that point where I actually want it to be personal. That's what I want now. I'm not really interested in the superficial anymore. I want to spill my guts out and leave them on the floor, you know? Well, I've talked a great talk there now. So
you picked yourself up there now. Better be fucking good.
I can picture the two of you in the audience going, oh, Jesus. No, did she leave many guts there? That's a very surface joke.
Sure, she should have said that.
Well, we mixed it up and we fired it out to the people, and you're our people, and we could not do this without you. So thank you so much for listening and for sharing and subscribing and following and liking and all those things, and for helping us keep going. So we'll keep going and we'll see you all next week.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.